رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خيرا for everyone's attendance. People have come from very far away, mashallah, various places, Washington, D.C., or Maryland. I don't know which one Sidi Ali prefers the area, but the general area there, all the way from California and the other coast. Both coasts are represented here, and also Minneapolis, right? Minnesota. So we have people from all parts, and this is considered actually the third coast. I don't know if you people in Chicago know that, but this is considered the third coast because of the Great Lakes here. So all the coasts are represented, alhamdulillah. So, ahlan wa sahlan to all of you. Welcome from the local murids. This is all put together by the local murids of Sheikh Muhammad al-Yaqubi, hafizullah, and welcome to you from him as well. That may be one of the surprises you get today, inshallah. We'll see if you get to taste his voice. And I do mean taste, because we haven't heard it in a long time. He has full intention of attending, but I kind of gave him off if he wants to, because he and the kids are under a stomach flu at the moment. So we'll see, inshallah, if he's up to it. But inshallah, if not, his dua is with us, and he sends salam to everyone, and welcome to all of you, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan again. So we have been talking about speech and the states and how they're connected, how the tongue is so tightly connected to the heart in our sessions here. And so it's one aspect in terms of celebrating the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What I wanted to do this year for the Maulid was just try to glean and embody as a resolution in our lives just one, even one aspect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is one of the most important, because if we can get even a little bit of this into our life in terms of watching our words and guarding our tongue, then inshallah it will go a long way in terms of rectifying our affairs and smoothing out our lives ultimately. Because the tongue and the heart, as we said, ask anyone, the medical field, speech pathology, dentists, these all people will tell you how tightly connected the tongue is to the heart. I mean, they just found this out recently, that those who have heart attack, it's usually when they have an infection. They usually have periodontal disease as well. So they have to be really wary, those who have infections in the mouth, because it's so tightly connected. And this is why, ultimately, we do dhikr on the tongue, because we're trying to get that cleanliness, the qalbun saleem. So this is our aim, inshallah. So what I wanted to start with is, because when we talk about our speech, there can be so many different aspects we can discuss. But I wanted to look at, as I have been in our normal sessions, our weekly sessions, about looking at the Arabic language, because it gives us in a glance the beauty that we are supposed to have in speech. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose the Arabic language? There's many significances in that. And so what we find is in Fusha, this formality that we can get from the Arabic language, and even if we don't speak Arabic, we can take that wisdom and have this formality of speech. So this is what I was talking about at the first Maulid that we celebrated at my parents' home, that why can't we have that formality in our speech? So imagine if we're having a quarrel. Sayyidina Shaykh Hafidhullah never liked to use the word argument. Like once when I was saying, my husband and I are having an argument, he said, no, you are not having an argument. You're having a quarrel. You see how even that, just starting the subject, you have to be very careful in how you speak. And also, he's already telling me by saying that, don't make it bigger than it is. You're not having an argument, you're just having a quarrel. So let's make it really what it is. And this is how precise the ulama are in terms of language. Another time, you know, we would drive him places, and he'd say, Asra, how far is that? I said, ah, just a couple of minutes. And he said, no, tell me exactly. I've heard that so many times from you. A couple of minutes, 5 minutes. No, tell me exactly. And I'll tell you, I never once used that couple of minutes line again. I would tell him exactly how far it is. That's how precise the ulama are. I mean, even we think we're just joking when we say those things, but it has to be the truth. And so we cut those things out. By the way, studying the Arabic language makes you not understand sarcasm. Because I have no idea, but I do not understand sarcasm anymore. And why is that? I have to say it must be because there's no truth in it. What does sarcasm mean? I think at some point I used to understand sarcasm because most Americans do, I'm sure. You know, as a kid, we all used sarcasm as a joke. But I can tell you, I have this deadpan look. The kids say, oh, don't use sarcasm, and mommy, she just doesn't get it. And that's because it doesn't have truth in it. Isn't it the opposite? I don't even remember how it goes, but anyway. So that's how precise the ulama are in everything that is uttered on the tongue. Why? Because it's an action that is being recorded. So everything we do with the tongue, we are accountable for. So let's clean that up. So, take for example, even when Sayyida Aisha, radiallahu anha, when she was upset with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what was she upset about most often that occurred was her jealousy for Sayyida Khadija, radiallahu anha. But even in those words, they're so beautiful. I mean, they would be like our compliments when she was actually upset and admitted her jealousy about Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. So what did she say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What happened was with this incident where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's not just once, he would often slaughter a goat and send it off. This is after her passing, of course, because Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha never met Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. So this is years after her passing away. Now, he would still slaughter a goat regularly and send it off to all her friends. This is how much love he had for her. And so one time, Sayyida Aisha's ghaira was teeming, overflowing. And she said, كَأَلَّمْ يَكُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا خَدِيجَ. It's like there's no one else in the world except Khadija. But I want us to pay particular attention to these. How beautifully she said that. What would we do? We would use all kinds of, you know, I don't even want to repeat the kinds of words we would use when we're upset. And of course, this brings us back to other hadith about la taghdab, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you know, this is why we're told that those who control their anger, la taghdab, and you have paradise for you if you can control your anger. So these things are very carefully tied together. The more we practice what we utter, then for sure this anger will subside. And then, as Sayyidina Shaykh Hafizullah said, there is no argumentation. It'll just be little quarrels or disputes. So, you know, it'll go down and down, inshallah. And that's how we rectify our behavior. And we start embodying the sunnah. And that's what we're all ultimately after, is it not? So, and also I wanted to look at even the words of Sayyida Maryam, alayhi salam. Even when she was in the throngs of pain of childbirth of Sayyidina Isa, alayhi salam, what did she say? Ya laytani. Look at how beautiful. This is when she was in utter pain of childbirth. And as all mothers know, I mean, can anyone taste anything more painful? I mean, besides, there are, in our time, actually, there's lots of pain going on. But even in such throngs of pain, such beautiful words flowed from her tongue, mashallah, which means, by the way, this is called Jumla in Sha'iyah because it starts, Ya Laytani. Ya Laytani means, it's like in a, something usually impossible wish. So, and it has different grammatical rules, so that's why it's called Jumla in Sha'iyah. But it's beautiful. Again, I'm just giving you a taste of how looking at the nuances in Arabic, even if we don't know it, we should apply the beautiful rules and the carefulness and specificity of the Arabic language into any tongue that we use. So that's all she said. Would that I could die before this, or I was a thing forgotten. How beautiful. In the throngs of pain, she's saying this, turning to her Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the way, so in other languages, one way to know that you're being formal, like I said, we should bring back formality, is to use the subjunctive. But you, hardly anyone would that I. Hardly anyone speaks like that. But it's an instant way of knowing that you're being formal. Use the subjunctive tense. Bring it back. Nobody uses it. It's all alone there. Something I'm applying more of Sayyidina Sheikh's initial teaching, because he quizzed us, because he would check to see Americans if they know their tenses in English. And most people don't know their subjunctive tense, actually. So he would test people in the English language. Forget about in the Arabic language. He would test us in the English language, and most people do not know the subjunctive tense. So let's bring it back. Bring some formality there. So what happens then is that you get this, as the tongue becomes beautified with formality, then we automatically, when we're with those perhaps who don't speak so eloquently, it will flow on to them. It's catchy, it's kind of contagious. And it's a known fact that the higher concentration goes to lower concentration. This is why when we go to see the ulama and we go with an empty vessel, this is when we get it filled up. But if we think we're going in front of the ulama with our cups already full, we'll leave with nothing. And usually, this is what we're told, for instance, especially when we meet the elder arifin and the awliya, to do a lot of astaghfar before you go meet the awliya and the arifin, so we can leave filled up, rather than thinking we're going already knowing things. So these are all the things that start coming to us when we watch carefully our speech, inshallah. Speaking of some of the nuances of the English language, it's interesting because when Sayyidina Sheikh, we happened to be with him, I would every now and then, as he was learning English, I got to see that. And he would have really funny remarks to say about the spelling. Because, you know, in Arabic, everything is spelled exactly as it sounds. That's why when you know tajweed and you know how every letter is uttered, you've aced spelling in Arabic, inshallah. But not so in English. So he would make jokes every now and then. And Daddy, my daughter, told me this. And it reminded me of things Sayyidina Sheikh used to say when he was first learning English. And how weird your spelling, and I don't get how this works, and, you know, philosopher, and he, you know, the PH pops up, so, and then it disappears sometimes, but, so my daughter asked me about this G-H-O-T-I-O. If I had a board, I would put it on the board, G-H-O-T-I-O. If someone was learning English, you would think that's a word if you put it together. And it would equal fish. And I got part of it. She asked me, do you know how, Mom? And I said, yeah, well, G-H, you know, I could see the F there. So G-H-O-T-I-O. So the G-H would be, you know, like enough and all those words where we have G-H and fish. But the rest of it, it's a little bit, you know, you have to think about it, where the rest of it comes from, O and then T-I-O. So the O is from women. You know how women is like spelled with, it's pronounced like an I, the O in women. So that's where the O in that comes from. And the T-I-O from shun. So that's where you get fish. Someone learning English could think G-H-O-T-I-O is actually fish. When she told me that story, that totally took me back to when these lessons with Sheikh Mohammed, and he made jokes like this about the English language. But alhamdulillah, so we have all these wisdoms from the Arabic language. And what we want to do is take that formality and embody it and alayka bi sunnati, because ultimately all of that is so that we cling to the sunnah. This is from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alayka bi sunnati, cling to my sunnah. And here's another succinct phrase. Alayka is used as a verb here, but ultimately that's what that means. We should be clinging to the sunnah. And it's not overnight. Obviously, that's why I'm just picking just one aspect of the sunnah for this celebratory day as we celebrate the Maulid. If we can just make that niyyah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take more, inhale more and more of the sunnah. In the horse world, they say the slow way is the fast way. You know, because if you try to beat down a horse, there's no way he's going to learn. But when you slow down and you go at his pace, he will learn and he will surprise you. So, and that's, by the way that Sayyidina Sheikh Hafizullah takes. Not about rushing to learn all of this, but implementing whatever little it is that we know, inshallah. And so from that, we want to take this formality and beautifying our tongue. Then what happens is that no matter what is going on, whatever person we're engaging with, we should have a smile, because that is also a sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether he was at the height of his career at the Fath al-Mecca or in the depths of being tested, like at Ta'if, when even the elderly and the handicapped gave him a trial by casting him out of their town, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a smile on his face and he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. So this is ultimately what will happen. And it's supposed to be the American way, isn't it? Isn't that what we were supposed to be known for? Like, no matter what is happening in our private life, what is it that they say about Americans? They always say, have a nice day. So, wow, I haven't heard that lately. Why do we lose that? It's a beautiful thing about the Americans. And it's our way. And it's from the sunnah, actually. No matter what is happening, we should be doing that. We do that in shops. They don't say it as much, but yeah, put that smile on. Have a nice day. You don't have to go and tell everyone what is going on in your day. Where did we get that from? It's like a new phenomenon. Everywhere you go, oh, I had to see this doctor. And it used to be we just said, oh, have a fun day or have a nice day. And the smile was always there. Now they're actually saying that about the Indonesians. You know that? Because Indonesian, it's an Indonesian culture. I actually read that in the book, that Indonesia, they smile through everything, when greeting, bargaining, agreeing, or arguing. So we should bring that back. So one of the things to be cognizant of in this era of the end of time is we need to make things easy. And so we need to remember some of the succinct hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one of the things, most important things that summarizes everything is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said just to hold on to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to cling to his family. He said, وَأَنَا تَارِكٌ فِيكُمْ ثَقَلَيْنِ. I'm leaving you two things. أَوَلْهُمَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ فِيهِ الْهُدَى وَالنُّورِ. One of them is the book of Allah, and it is guidance and light. فخذوا بكتاب الله واستمسكوا به. So I hold on to the book of Allah and cling to it. Look at the word that is used here. فاستمسكوا به. واستمسكوا به. It means the root word is from musk. So what is the intonation we get from this? It means cling if you translate it. But it means that the perfume should linger on us. فاستمسكوا. Leave this beautification around you, wherever you go. So ultimately, this is what we want to do. Wherever we go, if we are clinging to the book of Allah, then what will happen, which ultimately means then we're practicing the sunnah, then we'll leave this beautiful, fragrant smell of the sunnah wherever we go. So Maqal, and then he said, wa ahlu bayti, uzakirukum Allahi fi ahlu bayti. I remind you to hold on to my family. And he said that again, that I remind you to hold on to my family. So the book of Allah and cling to my family. Cling to these two things because in it is fragrance. And I could tell you literally this becomes manifested. When Sayyidina Shaykh Muhammad Hafizullah used to visit us often in New York, wallahi, we used to smell the fragrance in New York City wherever we were. I would get calls and say, I know Sayyidina Shaykh was there down this road because I smelled him. I smelled his fragrance there. I would get calls like that. And it would be more than one person that said that. Sidi Ali over there is nodding because he knows those times. He was there. So I have a witness here. My kids are witnesses too. But, you know, subhanAllah, these things have physicality to them if we practice this. So this is what I would like all of us to do. Inshallah, may Allah give us tawfiq in bringing even an iota of the sunnah and embodying it and bringing the fragrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherever we go, whatever Allah gives us tawfiq in, whichever aspect of the sunnah He allows us to implement and to expose others around us, whatever, wherever He takes us in the walk of life, inshallah. And to give you an idea of how important this aspect of scent is, you know I'm big on scent, wrote about, that's why I title a lot of things I write with fragrances, the scent of the saint, if you haven't read it, about Sayyidina Shaykh. And actually the fragrance that I have there, that is the wood chips are the ones that he gave me, the ones in the brother section. Those are the famous wooden chips that Sayyidina Shaykh gave me from the famous scent of the saint essay, which is all famous because of Sayyidina Shaykh's scent. But anyway, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you'll have to look it up online and find, or in my book, Metal Illness, it's the last chapter, Scent of the Saint, about Sayyidina Shaykh Hafizullah. But anyway, here's to give you an anecdote about how important this is, the scent. They did a test in people. You know, they do. The psychologists are known to do so many tests. So it's very interesting, some of the tests they do. So they did a test, and they took subjects, and what they did is they had the first set of subjects put gauze pads under their underarms, and then had them watch. Half of them watched a horror movie, and the other half watched a comedy. And they had another test, other test subjects, smell the gauze pads, and they had to decode which people watched the horror movie and which people watched the comedy. Almost all of them got it right by smelling the gauze pad, which was the scent of the horror movie and which was the scent of the comedy. In addition, there was a nurse who just came to her at the last moment. Just to give you an idea how important fragrance is. A boy was in a coma, and he wasn't coming out of it. They didn't have much hope. So it just came to her that she had read somewhere, the last thing to go is the sense of smell, the olfactory nerve. So she told the mother, you know, why don't you put your perfume on a diaper and just put it under his nose? Let's see, you know, what happens. Sure enough, it woke him out of the coma. the smell of the mother's perfume. So these things have much potency in them. So I'd like to leave you with that thought, that let's try to perfume wherever we go. And remember that we are choreographers of the sunnah. Every single scene that we live, we have a chance to be an artist. The artist we can be is a choreographer of the sunnah of every single scene. You know, people think that this happened to me or that happened to me, but you had a chance to implement the sunnah. We cannot control what anyone else does in any single scene that we live, in any day that we pass through. But we can't control ourselves. And that's how we'll leave that fragrance of the sunnah wherever we go. So let's be that type of choreographer, inshallah. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'ahu ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'ahu ahlu. Jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'ahu ahlu. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين الفاتحة. By the way, speaking of fragrance, one of the surprises for tonight is speaking of Sayyida Khadija رضي الله عنها. One of the gifts that was given to me is the turab from the house of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. So I have that for you to smell, that fragrance, and hopefully we can carry that with us, that smell. And may it allow us to, inshallah, land in the company of the Prophet and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And also, as I said, this was put together by the murids, the local murids. So, and I didn't want to actually just have it catered because we wanted the barakah of serving you. The Shabili way is a way of service. So any of you out-of-towners, if you need anything from us, it would be we would be hurt if you didn't ask us. So anything that you need while you're here in town, please ask us. It is our joy to serve you. And all that we ask is that if you could remember us on Yawm al-Qiyamah, we're going to need your help on that day. And that's the only reason we're doing it. Some people think that, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. That's not why the Shadalis do this. And I want everyone to know that, because sometimes people are astounded. If you go to the UK, you will see murids who will serve you left and right, because Sayyidina Sheikh, most of his murids are there. We're small and few here, but we don't want that to deter you, to let you know that we're here to serve you. So everyone that is here, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answer your du'as for whatever it is that your needs are. Every single one of us here, our hearts, only Allah knows what our needs are. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answer those du'as for everyone who, whatever it is that you came here for, but we all have needs and wants. So I pray that that gets answered for everyone that is here and our families and friends, those who are not here, who wish to be with us. And their hearts are with us. So please take us up on that offer, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum. So I'll be coming around with the turab, inshallah. And by the way, so we'll let you know. We're going to pray and then do the burda. And we'll check in to see if Sayyidina Sheikh is feeling okay, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.